Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, the head of the HSE says COVID cases have stabilised, but at a rate that's still putting serious pressure on the health service. The Taoiseach has confirmed that the Housing Minister is considering the controversial sliding scale issue in the enhanced MICA redress scheme. There's a clear message from US politicians to Britain on the Northern Ireland Brexit protocol, according to the Sinn Féin leader. Work is set to start on a new wastewater treatment plant in Kilcar, and a potential tragedy was averted in Letterkenny this week thanks to the swift action of a local Garda. Good evening, Kenny Harkin will be here too with all the latest in sport. First in news though, the Taoiseach has said the hospitality sector is taking one for the team when it comes to COVID restrictions. Government is awaiting updated NPHET advice this evening on how the pandemic will be handled over the coming weeks. Well, the Finance Minister says the wage subsidy scheme is being reviewed, but gave no indication cuts will be reversed. The rates paid out under the scheme were reduced yesterday as it winds down with the economy reopening. Hospitality firms affected by a reduction in trading hours say this should be reversed. Pascal Donoghue says the issue is being considered.
It is a programme of huge impact, but it was launched at a time of a risk of mass unemployment. What we will do is review where we are from a public health guidance point of view, and then the government, I'm sure, very shortly will make a decision about what is appropriate in the coming months. But we absolutely appreciate the value of it and know the role it's playing in protecting jobs at the moment.
The Health Minister has said the proposed laws to bring back mandatory hotel quarantine are limited and necessary. The Dáil is expected to pass the regulations this evening, giving the option for the government to impose hotel quarantine on overseas arrivals. However, some TDs have questioned whether the move is proportionate, given we don't have the full picture on the Omicron variant. But Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says the legislation has safeguards in place.
The bill was drafted in close cooperation with the Attorney General and was done so in a way to ensure that the necessary measures it may introduce are justified on the basis of evidence, that they're proportional to the dangers posed, that they're targeted towards those specific dangers, and that they're limited both in scope and in time.
The head of the HSE says COVID cases have stabilised, but at a rate that's still putting serious pressure on the health service. The number of virus patients in hospital had surged in recent weeks, but has stabilised in recent days at 545. Paul Reid says this number of virus patients in hospital means other areas of healthcare suffer and could be vulnerable to other issues during the winter.
The numbers that have stabilised at hospital level, but stabilised at a very high level, like 500, almost 550 people in hospital today with COVID and 170 in ICU. That's an extremely high level alone for us going into a winter period. So there has been some relief, but a high level.
The Stormont executive is urging people in the north to double down on efforts to drive down COVID infection rates there. Health officials in Northern Ireland met ministers for an update on the latest situation with the disease today. In a statement, the executive says no cases of the Omicron COVID variant have been confirmed in the north, but that is likely to change in the coming days. It also says there's no need for alarm as a result of the emergence of the new variant. The Taoiseach has confirmed that the Housing Minister is considering the controversial sliding scale issue in the enhanced MICA redress scheme. There had been much outrage to the sliding scale element of the scheme, which could result in homeowners still having to pay out tens of thousands of euro to fix their homes. The Taoiseach was responding to questions in the Dáil from Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle. Leo Varadkar says he expects the indicative figure to be increased.
I know Minister O'Brien is considering this matter at the moment, and Deputy Joe Kerry, Deputy John McHugh and others have made a similar case as you're making now in relation to the sliding scale. Just to say, the whole idea of having a cap per square foot in terms of cost is a sensible one, so that we can contain costs and make sure that the money is spent most efficiently, and it's based on an independent index, which is a society of chartered surveyors. So if a house is damaged or destroyed by lightning or knocked down for some reason, this is the amount the insurance company would pay out per square foot. So it is an objective index, but it is updated every year, by the way, and we'd expect it to be increased in the spring in line with construction inflation. The logic behind the sliding scale is one of economies of scale. That a smaller building costs more to build per square foot than a larger building does. And people who work in the building trade, and I see somebody behind you nodding, I think, at that, it is a fact that a smaller building costs more to build per square foot than a larger one because of economies
of
scale.
Thank you.
But that's the logic behind it.
DUP MP Gregory Campbell has written to Taoiseach Micheál Martin meanwhile over concerns around the exclusion of Northern Irish holiday homeowners in the MICA redress scheme. The revised scheme announced this week does not offer redress for holiday homes, while rental properties will only be covered if they were registered with the RTB by the 1st of November. Gregory Campbell says it would be ironic for the Irish government to use the border as a reasonable excuse for the exclusion of affected homes owned by people whose primary residence is in Northern Ireland. He told Greg Hughes today that there are serious anomalies in the scheme's criteria.
I've written to Micheál Martin and asked him, look, can you establish how many people are affected by the MICA homes issue but are Northern Ireland residents, so will be excluded from the main scheme? The secondary issue, I suppose it falls on from that, is that when you look at the scheme, people who are second homeowners and who have rented out their property, if they were in a rental agreement scheme prior to this, they could well qualify. But people who own their own home, live in Northern Ireland, have a second home in, for example, County Donegal, and merely use it as a second home, they will not qualify.
And do you believe they should qualify?
I think it's more than a huge anomaly. I think it really would be diabolical if a government were to say to a category of people who live in Northern Ireland and own properties in Donegal, for example, if they were to say to them, if you have that as an investment and you meet our criteria, you do qualify. If you had it as a holiday home and you weren't using it as an investment, but you were actually living in it, you won't qualify.
It's emerged that just a fraction of additional beds allocated to Letterkenny University Hospital for 2020 and 2021 have actually opened. Of the 39 beds allocated, only 16 are open for use. It comes as figures released by the INMO this week show that over 1,000 admitted patients were on a trolley at the hospital last month waiting on a bed. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says what is being experienced at the hospital is pure neglect.
When you look at the deep crisis we have at the emergency department of the hospital, where over 1,000 Donegal patients have been on trolleys in the last month alone, you can see the impact of that failure, and it's around recruitment of nurses and doctors. It's around looking at, you know, modular units, temporary space around the hospital. It's just a lack of urgency from the government, from the high echelons of the HSE, to understand the scale of the crisis at our hospital, and it has to be sorted out now.
And this comes as we see high trolley figures daily, and Letterkenny has remained in the most overcrowded list of hospitals in the country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, over the last month, Letterkenny is at the top of the table when it comes to our people who are on trolleys instead of in beds in appropriate wards. And remember, that means cancelled surgeries, procedures, appointments, growing waiting lists in the hospital, staff working in impossible conditions. It's a real nightmare. But the people of Donegal need to know this is not happening across the state. This is only in a small number of hospitals like Letterkenny. Most hospitals aren't experienced in this kind of crisis at the emergency department. So this is about neglect. It's about funding discrimination. And that's why I'm appealing to Minister Stephen Donnelly to urgently get up to Letterkenny, get up to Donegal, and hear from the front line what's going on.
The General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation has accused Public Health of walking away from primary schools at the end of September. John Boyle says as a result, COVID-19 has spiralled out of control in schools. Latest figures show over 6,000 primary school students tested positive for the virus during the month of November. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, John Boyle warned that the situation in schools is only going to get worse unless vaccines and contact tracing is implemented for the school community.
On the 27th of September, public health just walked away from primary schools. They kept supporting special schools and secondary schools, and you can see in the intervening couple of months, the secondary and special schools have had a rise in infections, but it's not out of control. The virus went completely out of control in primary. For example, last week, 6,077 cases in the whole month of November, 20,000 in the projections that by Boxing Day or New Year's Eve, there'll be 50,000 children of that age infected. That's totally out of control. So NPHET made their decision last Wednesday, Thursday. It took nearly a week, I suppose, to be communicated to schools. Government only made their decision on Tuesday. It went out on Tuesday night. Maybe the mistake that was made was that, in one sense, you know, they expected it to be implemented immediately the following morning, about 12 hours notice. But in another sense, maybe they didn't have a lot of choice about that, because I think everybody in public health realises that they made a complete hems of the primary school sector, and time was of the essence. I mean, the number of cases is absolutely just blows the mind, really. They're still reporting, by the way, last week that there were only 32 outbreaks in primary schools, 8 in the Northwest Health Region. Nobody believes that, because obviously they're not looking. They're not contacting primary schools, so how could they really know? It is a crisis. We have the antigen testing started Monday, but until we have every child offered a vaccine, booster vaccines for the workers, and until we have contact tracing, which is the gold standard, reinstated, I think we're going to be in trouble for the rest of the winter.
There's a clear message from US politicians to Britain on the Northern Ireland Brexit protocol, according to the Sinn Féin leader. Mary Lou MacDonald has been meeting key figures in Washington to voice her concerns over the possibility Britain could trigger Article 16. However, Deputy MacDonald says she is reassured at the level of American support for Ireland.
What I heard yesterday on the Hill was a very clear, the clearest possible articulation across the board that any notion of walking away from the protocol is simply not acceptable. It's not acceptable to us in Ireland, and it's not acceptable in the United States. And I think that is a very welcome and a very, very clear message.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for all the latest in sport. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Catherine. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Derry City's raft of new signings this week continued today. They unveiled Alan Reynolds as the new club's new assistant manager. The 47-year-old replaces Rafa Quintero, had been at Shelbourne last season, splitting his time between there and the FAI, where his development role included assisting the national under-21 side. Reynolds is no stranger to the Brandywell, having spent the 2008 campaign in the home dugout alongside Stephen Kenny. Cross Channel Ralph Rangnick has been granted his work permit to start his role as Manchester United's new interim manager. The German was appointed on Monday, but has been waiting for the approval process to be complete. He'll be at Old Trafford tonight, where Michael Carrick will take charge of the first team for the final time when they face Arsenal. Carrick's already made some big decisions, like dropping Cristiano Ronaldo to the bench for Sunday's draw with Chelsea. He says too much was made of it.
I didn't see it as being a major decision. It certainly wasn't within the camp or within the group. So, we all got on really well. The game went well to an extent, and it wasn't a drama at all.
Also tonight in the Premier League, Brentford, they aim for back-to-back ones when they head to Spurs in a London derby. And in the Scottish Premiership, Celtic, they're looking to cut the gap on leaders Rangers at the top of the table to 4 points when they host third-place Hearts. Moving on to Gaelic games, and then the Danske Bank Ulster Schools Football Under-19 Mercury Cup today. St Union's Letterkenny were defeated by Holy Trinity Cookstown by 15 points to 8. That's 2 points and 2 defeats and 2 games for St Union's. Their final game is against St McCartan's of Monaghan next week. Also in Gaelic games, the GAA are to set up a task force to consider potential reforms to the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. They'll bring back proposals for change to the association's Central Council ahead of February's Congress. GAA Director General Tom Ryan and the GPA's Ronan Sheehan will be among those on the task force. In golf, 20 of the world's best golfers get the Hero Challenge underway today. Tiger Woods is hosting the event, although not playing in the event in the Bahamas. Rory McIlroy, he tees off very shortly, 20 past 5 Irish time. He's out alongside Open champion Colin Morikawa. Daniel Berger is the early leader. He's on 3 under par. Moving on to rugby, and Ireland's home games for the Women's Six Nations will be played in Dublin, Cork and Belfast. Their campaign starts on the 26th of March at the RDS against Wales, before a trip to France the following week. On April the 10th, Ireland will play at Musgrave Park. Greg McWilliams' side are away to England on April the 24th before completing their campaign against Scotland at Kingspan Stadium. And Leinster head coach Leo Cullen says tomorrow's game with Connacht is a big one for Harry Byrne. He's been named at out half for the United Rugby Championship meeting at the RDS. James Lowe, Gary Ringrose and Keelan Doris, they're among the others to come into the side. Andy Friends made 3 changes from Connacht's win over the Ospreys, with Peter Robb, Oisin Dowling and Owen Masterson all introduced. Meanwhile, the Scarlets have asked European Professional Club Rugby to consider their position on rescheduling upcoming matches in the Heineken Champions Cup. Having returned from South Africa, the Welsh team is set to quarantine in Northern Ireland until a day before the tournament opener against Bristol. 34 Munster players, they're also isolating for 10 days, and Scarlets have urged the Champions Cup organisers to rethink their stance on pushing back games. In horse racing, Tiger Roll is to make his return at Aintree on Saturday. The 2-time Grand National winner will make his seasonal return in the Grade 2 Unibet Many Clouds Chase. Finally, for this evening in snooker, Luca Brasel is through to the quarterfinals of the UK Championship following a 6-1 win over Anthony Hamilton. The Belgian will play Anthony McGill in the last 8. And Jack Lazowski beat Hussein Vafai by 6-4 to set up a meeting with China's Zhao Xingtong. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Catherine.
Thanks, Kenny. Returning to news now, work is set to start on a new wastewater treatment plant in Kilcar. The works are part of the Kilcar sewerage scheme and are aimed at eliminating the discharge of raw sewerage into Tawny Bay. With more, here is Eamon Tornsey.
In a statement, Irish Water say that once operational, the new plant and associated infrastructure will ensure compliance with wastewater discharge regulations. It's also set to improve water quality in Tawny Bay and protect recreational waters for swimming, surfing, fishing, boating and sightseeing, as well as protecting the integrity of the local marine environment and supporting future economic and social development. Works on the project are expected to commence in the coming weeks and will be completed by early 2023. This project will put an end to the discharge of untreated wastewater into Tawny Bay. The project will also enhance the local environment and provide a platform for social and economic development of the area well into the future. Contact will be made with the local community in Kilcar in the coming weeks regarding the upcoming works.
Finally this evening, a potential tragedy was averted in Letterkenny recently thanks to the swift action of a local Garda. On Tuesday evening last, Garda Peter McGee of Letterkenny Garda Station responded to an emergency call that a woman had slipped into the water close to the port bridge in the town. On arrival, Garda McGee entered the water, assisted the woman and held the wall of a tunnel under the bridge until further assistance arrived. Garda say that this incident was likely to end in tragedy and have commended Garda McGee for his bravery and quick actions. Weather now. The rain in the west will move to all areas with a chance of some heavy falls of rain this evening. A clearance will follow though later, leaving some patchy rain, drizzle and mist in places. Lowest temperatures of 2 to 5 degrees. Closing headlines now, and the Taoiseach has said the hospitality sector is taking one for the team. When it comes to COVID restrictions, the government is awaiting updated NPHET advice this evening on how the pandemic will be handled over the coming weeks. The finance minister says the wage subsidy scheme is being reviewed but gave no indication cuts will be reversed. And the health minister has said the proposed laws to bring back mandatory hotel quarantine are limited but necessary. That's it for now. We're back with more at 6. Stand by. Chris Ashmore's here with all the latest in farming news, and the obituaries will follow them. Good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lyford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lyford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lyford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about armchair farmers and also the qualifying measures for new eco schemes, which will be very important here in Donegal. But first this evening, the race is on to see who will be the new Ulster North Leinster regional chair for the IFA. Last night, there was an online debate and Donegal farmers had the chance to hear from the two candidates, Frank Brady from Monaghan and John Curran from Meath, about their plans for the role. The candidates are addressing all seven county executives in the region. Postal voting by county officers and branch delegates will take place during the month, and the system is modelled on the postal vote used for Shannon Aaron elections. The count is scheduled for Friday, December the 17th. Now, let's change tack. Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. A couple of things to discuss. Firstly, Pat, the term armchair farmers is back in the headlines this week. Looks like we're going to have a little bit of a clampdown in 2023. So give us a little bit of the background.
Basically, the department have identified over 10,000 farmers who need to provide proof in 2023 that they are actively farming. So according to the AIM system, they don't have any livestock. And you're talking about, you know, nearly one in 10 BPS applicants. They received payments last year of 32 million in total. So there is a very significant cohort of Irish farming. We don't really know the exact breakdown what these people are doing. Are some of them tillage farmers, and they need to show, you know, the movement of input costs and invoices from sales through their system. Are they farming grass and selling hay or silage, which is perfectly legitimate, and but perhaps they're going, up till now it would have been assumed they were doing something, whereas now they're going to have to show that they are doing something in terms of agricultural activity. There is a minimum stocking rate of 0.15 livestock units per hectare, which currently is the minimum stocking rate for the ANC payment. That will become the minimum stocking rate for all for the basic payment, it seems, in 2023. So farmers who have no stock will have to show through that level of activity that they're doing something.
For those people on the outside looking in, they'll say, well, surely that's fair enough?
I think from the people on the inside looking in, will say that's fair enough. You shouldn't get money for nothing. The Minister, Charlie McConlogue, said this will be a problem for those that have been doing nothing. That was his own exact words. So there's no doubt about it that this signals, you know, a sharpening of focus on the people who seem not to be doing very much, and they're going to have to demonstrate that they're doing enough to trigger the payment. The bar is not particularly high, and I think that, you know, the whole question of armchair farmer, active farmer, it's a very vexed question, and part-time farmers are very sensitive to it because they feel that it may, you know, impact on them and on their circumstances. But there's a very different big difference between a part-time farmer, someone who's another income stream, and who spends some of their time in other employment, and an armchair farmer who effectively is farming entitlements, is taking advantage of the system, which they were perfectly entitled to do if there's loopholes there and it's legal. No one's saying it's wrong. But at the same time, there's no sanity in it and there's no future in it. We have to remember that the department has also moved to create an amnesty around the sale of entitlements for 2023 and 4, but there will be no clawback on entitlements that are sold by farmers, and there will be a clawback applied on short-term leases of 10% on entitlements where they're in short-term lease. So there are some moves to try and move entitlements towards the people who are actively farming. Mm.
And do we know, is it a problem of a greater or lesser scale in other EU countries?
Every country is a very different system. We're probably at the point where our system is quite unique now, and it's not entirely relevant to look abroad, but it's certainly a problem here, and it's a problem farm organisations have been raising. The historical payments, Ireland is unusually wedded to the historical payments. We have a big shift coming. We've already had some convergence where high payments were reduced and low payments were increased. We're going to have front-loading CRIS, we're going to have further convergence, and we're going to have the eco-schemes. So they're going to strip out a lot of the value of entitlements. It's going to change the nature of leasing of entitlements, and the activity known as armchair farming will be more problematic from 2023 on, because of the steps being made by the Minister and the Department, but also because of the changes in the cap, which lower the value of high entitlements, which were very lucrative up till now.
Now, you mentioned eco-schemes there, and effectively the criteria came out originally. There was a number of qualifying criteria. This has now been expanded on. So briefly, what were the existing ones and what is going to happen now?
So there were five criteria. Just to give a context, 25% of Pillar 1 funds, which are direct payments to farmers, have been set aside for eco-schemes. And farmers, in order to qualify, must fulfil two of the measures. There were only five, now there are eight. And there is the possibility to double up on two of those measures. So there's effectively 10 measures. And a huge amount of money involved here, 292 million a year, or €70 a hectare a year for farmers who qualify. So it's very important that farmers reach in and get them. So there are three new criteria, and they are either soil sampling and liming, which is going to be applied 1 in 3 years, enhanced crop diversification for tillage farmers where they planted break crops such as oats, beans, peas or oilseed rape, and that will qualify them. That must be on 25% of their tillage hectareage. And then multi-species swards, which are very popular now, increasingly last year, and we expect them to be extremely popular next year because they have very little fertiliser requirement compared to conventional grass. So if you put 6% of your eligible hectares into multi-species swards, that would qualify you. And they're in addition to the five measures in reverse order. A fertiliser spreader, which is controlled by GPS, was one measure, which that's now been expanded. If you have a sprayer which is GPS controlled, with full section control, with the obvious advantages for the environment that provides, where there's full verification of efficient use of nutrients, that qualifies you. The planting of native trees or hedgerow, that's now been extended so you can plant hedgerow. Limiting of chemical nitrogen use, which originally was only for very extensive farmers, but that's been significantly extended now. There was a maximum of 73 kilos of nitrogen per hectare, which is sort of 2.5 bags of can. But now for people who are in derogation, they're allowed to put in 700 weight of an acre of can and qualify. And the final two measures then, extensive livestock production, will prove very popular with farmers who are stocked at lower levels, who have maybe are on poorer land. The least changed of the measures are unchanged. And then space for nature, which is effectively land set aside from active farming for biodiversity. And there's a 7% target there. That's now been added to. There's also a higher 10% target, which qualifies as a double-up measure.
I take it there's been a broad welcome for this.
Yeah, I think certainly the calls have been answered. It was felt that the eco-scheme payments were very limiting. There were only five, and in particular dairy farmers and tillage farmers were complaining. So that's been transformed now.
And that was Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, the 2nd of December. The death has occurred in England of George Tracy Ardveen Crawley. His remains are reposing at his late residence from tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Funeral mass on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. House strictly private on the morning of the funeral, please, at the request of the family. Entry to the wake house via Dunlow or Lochinure. Exit by Crawley, where there is a one-way system. The death has taken place of Roisin Boyle, Acres, Burton Port, Donegal, Rose, Johnny Shane, and Late of Sligo. Funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock in St. Columba's Church, Burton Port, followed by interment of ashes in Critch Island Cemetery. The death has taken place of Myra Boyle, Myra Neely, of Lochinure, Annagree, and formerly of Bunnilaki Gidore. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. The wake will be private to family, close friends and neighbours. Funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, followed by burial in Annagree's old graveyard. The death has taken place of James Cairns, 59 Peacock Road, Sion Mills, and formerly of Ballocht Sion Mills. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The house is private to family and friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Francis Gallagher, Ní Collins, 24 Contham Road, Bernice, Durban. Francis' remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, leaving at 10:15, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, with interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The death has taken place of Siobhan McNulty, Gort McCall Beg, Milford. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St. Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family, flowers only, donations if desired to Cleary House, Knocknamona, Letterkenny, care of any family member. And the death has occurred of Marie Doherty, Ní Hughes, Corrine Ballybuffet. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member. The house and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only, please. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.